Welcome to Enclave on Air. I'm your host today, Courtney Flaherty. Enclave on Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In this episode of Enclave on Air, Zev A. Weinberg sat down with Enclave to discuss the rapidly evolving landscape of KRAS-directed therapy and pancreatic ductal adenocarcinoma, from pan-RAS inhibition to KRAS G12D-specific strategies. He also discussed what the next several years of clinical investigation may look like for patients with this historically difficult-to-treat malignancy. For decades, KRAS was considered an undruggable target in pancreatic cancer, but now that we have agents like daraxonrasib and other mutation-specific inhibitors generating really promising clinical data, how would you characterize the current state of KRAS-directed therapy, and what has enabled these recent advances?
It's really quite different than it's ever been before. If you look back in history, we haven't had quite this moment for a while. So the simple answer is biological chemistry, structural chemistry, all of these things have really led the way. So if you look at the companies and the people that got us to this place, it's all of those chemists and all of those people's pursuits of RAS as this target. And so once they all figure that out, I think now it becomes an open floodgate in terms of opportunities to develop multiple RAS inhibitors.
Daraxonrasib is definitely the big name here. So what have we seen with this agent so far as monotherapy and combination in these different settings? And why do you think that it really opens up those floodgates, as you said?
What's unique about it is that it blocks all RAS. So if you're thinking about a way to test the drug in the largest amount of patients possible, you do it by blocking all RAS. So they were able to develop a very elegant compound that blocks all RAS, wild type and mutant. And when you have a disease that's so dependent on RAS, like pancreatic cancer, you can test it pretty efficiently and quickly in that cancer. So that's really what it comes down to, and that's what was done. The results, obviously, of the RASolute-302 study are confirmatory that it works better than chemotherapy. But it's just really the first step, right? Now it's going to be about how to use it, when to use it, could move it to earlier lines, which we're already doing, of course. Will there be differences in pan-RAS versus other RAS inhibitors? All of that is going to take quite a while to sort out, but that's what we're going to be doing the next number of years.
One emerging agent of interest, INCB161734, is designed to selectively target KRAS G12D, the most common KRAS alteration in pancreatic cancer. What is unique about this agent's mechanism of action, and what potential advantages could it offer compared with a broader targeted strategy?
You could think about RAS inhibitors in a few different ways. One of the ways in which people think about them is how specific they are for certain alleles. So, for example, G12D, which, as you mentioned, the most common one, certainly in pancreatic cancer, that makes sense. We can now figure it out how to block it the same way they blocked G12C a decade ago. So you have a bunch of G12D inhibitors, which makes them different from the pan-RAS inhibitors because they're not blocking mutated KRAS G12V, or they're not effectively blocking other isoforms. So they're very selective in that regard. The advantages are theoretical at this point because the data that we have is not compared head to head to the pan-RAS, so we couldn't really comment on effectiveness of one over the other. So we know that the INCB161734 compound, which is a potent on-off inhibitor of G12D, has favorable response rate in refractory disease of 30-40% with pretty decent median PFS and OS in single-arm studies. So now we've combined it with chemotherapy and shown very high response rates with chemo, showing nice median PFS with chemo, very preliminarily because they're only single-arm studies and a little immature. But that's led to the randomized phase 3 trial, the DAWN-303 trial, which is looking at investigator's choice chemotherapy with or without this inhibitor. And that'll be obviously the ultimate study because it's a first-line metastatic study. Now, this is just one of many phase 3 studies with KRAS inhibitors out there in pancreatic cancer.
Could you elaborate a little more on the design and status of DAWN-303? What key questions will this trial really need to answer?
As we begin to tackle when and where people should get KRAS inhibitors, one of the issues is, do the allele-specific drugs have advantages or disadvantage over pan-RAS drugs? And the data will be coming out all in real time, so we'll know over the next few years and a bunch of cross-trial comparisons. In theory, the G12D-specific drugs have an advantage in terms of tolerability because they don't have the blocking of other KRAS isoforms and they don't have blockade of normal or wild-type RAS, so that has toxicity advantages. They do still have some toxicity, particularly GI toxicity, these G12D drugs, but they're a little more combinable with chemotherapy. And so that's led to the study, which is basically taking newly diagnosed patients with advanced disease who would get chemotherapy, which is still the standard of care in first line, and randomizing them to either chemotherapy alone or chemotherapy plus the pill. They have to be G12D. They have to get either FOLFIRINOX or gem/nab-paclitaxel, which are two standard of care frontline regimens. And they are randomized 1-to-1. And the study's launched, study's open, recruiting. So a very important study, I think, that'll hopefully answer the question.
What do we know currently about the safety profile of this KRAS G12D inhibitor? And what do we still need to know in terms of safety?
Like what we have with daraxonrasib, which is the first pan-RAS inhibitor with a lot of clinical data, obviously, is that it causes a certain group of toxicities, primarily rash and mucositis. And so those are the big ones that stick out, obviously. About 90% of people get the rash. Not all of it's grade 3, but it can be quite cumbersome and challenging. And so we have to be very aggressive. And that's because it blocks normal RAS, not because it necessarily blocks G12D or V or all the other isoforms. The G12D drugs seem as a class to cause more GI toxicities. And by that, I mean grade 1-2 nausea is not uncommon. Diarrhea is not uncommon, grade 1. Pre-medications with antiemetics has been helpful. Pre-medication with loperamide has been helpful for the G12D inhibitors as a class. And so as we get more data and figure this out, it'll probably evolve into a lot more specificity around the toxicity profiles, but those are sort of on a high level what we're looking at.
Based on what we're seeing with INCB161734, do you think that KRAS G12 inhibitors will ultimately be used in a combination approach? And if so, which combination approaches are likely to deliver the greatest clinical benefit?
There are many KRAS inhibitors, and a bunch look really good as single agents, and some early data with combination chemotherapy also looks really good. I think the G12D inhibitors generally are being pursued in combination with chemotherapy as the best option, and that's in pancreatic cancer where the direction of the field is going. And the pan-RAS inhibitors maybe have life as a single agent, as you saw in the RASolute 302 study. So again, there's going to be a bunch of different studies over the next few years going through all of that.
Looking ahead, which ongoing KRAS-directed studies or combination strategies are you watching most closely, and where do you think the next breakthrough in KRAS mutant PDAC will come from?
I mean, I think it's going to be personally coming from multiple places. I could foresee a situation where we have multiple KRAS inhibitors approved down the road, either allele-specific drugs with chemotherapy or non-allele-specific pan-RAS inhibitors by themselves, and then there will be options, and I hope that's where we're at in a few years from now, options. My hope is also that we could move these drugs very quickly into earlier lines. We're already doing that with daraxonrasib in the adjuvant setting. I think plans for neoadjuvant studies are ongoing. So in pancreatic cancer, where we know, number one, that RAS is pretty much important in 90%+ of patients, very important, and number two, that the drugs now work, there's good rationale to double down on this entire RAS and make that the focus and energy of just about every clinical trial has to combine with a RAS inhibitor moving forward, in my opinion. It's been a long pursuit to get to where we are today. Credits is the patients and their families who've contributed over the years, not just the patients on this study, but all the patients who have participated in every other study for that matter. And also these companies and biological chemists that really pursued this target with determination. And so it's good to see it at the end on the clinical side, that's for sure.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive on Air. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit OncLive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive on Air.